Welcome to another episode of Big MX Radio. We're talking Canadian motocross this time. I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, as always, with these Canadian podcasts, talking Canadian moto, the Birdman, T-Parrot. What's going on, buddy?
Not bad. Not much, Brad. How are you?
Not doing too bad. Just, just scrolling through the results here, just checking things out to see how everyone's doing so far in the championships. Some guys are doing awesome, some guys are probably scratching their heads a little bit, and then I'll probably pop over to foxracingcanada.com and just check to see what they have currently available, if they have any of my favorite stuff on sale, and if they don't, then I probably can't afford it, but I still want it, because you as well as I know, if it's Fox Racing Canada, I need to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't pass it up.
No, not a chance. Unfortunately, and like for those who are listening, probably wondering, I thought the Birdman raced. Like, I thought the Birdman was about racing his dirt bike and making memories doing so. You broke your leg, and you're not going to be able to participate in this series. And unless, of course, things have changed in that regard. I think last time we talked about 4 weeks ago, you were talking about possibly riding in about a month.
Yeah, we're getting close. I've been working on the bike here for the last week, kind of getting it all pieced back together and ready to go. But I'm giving myself like another couple weeks. As soon as I feel like solid on the leg, I'll be back on the bike. So hopefully end of the month if everything goes well.
Okay, so let's start out with the 250 class. He's now won two of the three nationals. He was actually off the podium at round three, but your current points leader, KTM's Kevin Benoit, the elder statesman, and I have on good authority because I saw him do exactly that. He goes out for a burger and fries afterwards. Kevin's got to be feeling pretty comfortable about himself. He's got an 8-point lead over Gage Linville, who I believe beat him in both motos. He went 2-2 on the weekend for his races. He beat him both motos at Pilot Mountain, but otherwise, Kevin's been very successful so far.
Yeah, he's been doing good this year. It's like he's just so consistent. Like, he kind of walks his way into like these overall finishes. Like, he usually might have like one bad moto, like Raymond. He had that bad, what was it, the first moto? Mm-hmm. Wasn't great. And then just walked into the second moto and got the win and got the overall. Like, same with kind of Calgary. Like, the first moto he did sick, and then the second moto wasn't as great, but he still got the overall. So he's been so consistent this year, it's hard to beat him.
It certainly is. And if you also keep in mind the fact that, there's an individual that's, we'll talk about him next, is Drew Adams. Not racing the entire series, as far as we know. He goes 1-1 this last weekend, honestly made it look like an absolute cakewalk, because the kid, after they red flagged the first time they tried to do the 250 main event, 250 moto, first moto, he came out swinging. He led every lap, wire to wire, it wasn't even close. I don't think, he's not racing the entire series, so he's only 10 points back. But which means right now Sebastian Racine is essentially sitting in third place, because eventually he'll overtake Drew if Drew continues or decides not to race any nationals past Gopher Dunes. So it's kind of a table set for two going forward between Linville and Benoit, and those guys will be battling tight the whole way down.
I believe Adams is trying to stay for the rest of the series, is what I heard. At least that's what he said on the TV broadcast when Galdi did the interview with him.
Okay.
He's saying that he's going to try figuring it out. Like, he'll have to do, like, the combine at Redbud on Friday and then fly to Gopher or Sandalie or something and then race Sandalie.
It'd be Gopher, yeah.
So he's going to try making it work is what they're saying right now, which would be sick to see him stick around. But, yeah, Linville's been doing really good this year, too.
Yeah, a ton of those, the PRMX Kawasaki's, which is surprising because we haven't always seen them be at the very top, in the Canadian Nationals. The team, obviously, like, a lot of their efforts focused on AMA Supercross. Between Aaron Tanti and Linville, as well as, of course, they also have Mitchell Harrison, like, those guys were buzzing around the top step of the podium all weekend long.
Yeah. It's good to see Tanti get that podium. I think he got the podium in Raymond too, but they screwed something up or something along those lines. But yeah, the PRMX boys have been ripping this year. Like, we didn't even really know about Gage Linville coming into it. And now he's it in second in points, like only 8 points off Benoit. It's pretty impressive.
Certainly. No, yeah. Like, I was talking about him about this in the riders meeting. Like Gage Linville, spin the clocks back 18 months ago, maybe 24 months ago, he beat Hayden Deegan at, Minio's, and it was quite handedly at that. Like, obviously, the two have, like, separated a little bit, and not to say that Gage Linville is at the same speed of Danger Boy now, but, like, the kid's got the skills, and he's down from Florida, so you know he spent a lot of time on a dirt bike, and he's I'm probably still sort of getting used to this Kawasaki. Of course, he's sort of, like, kind of bounced around manufacturers in the last little while. I expect him to only get better, and then, like, if you're down from South Georgia, more than likely you've spent some time in the sand, so I expect him to actually have quite a bit for Gavin and everybody else when it comes to both Sandali and Guilford, for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to say, because I feel like everyone's kind of on even grounds in the West, because, like, not many of those top guys that are in the championship have rode the West tracks as much.
Right.
I feel almost like maybe once they start, yeah, pretty much like no one's rode Raymond before. Very few of them have rode Calgary just for nationals, but like everyone out east has rode all those out east tracks numerous times. So it'll be interesting to see like where like Quinn's really good at Gopher, so he's going to be a hard guy to beat out there for like Linville, I imagine. And Sed's a really good Sandali rider, so like I think he's going to have his work cut out from come the East Coast because these kids have so much more experience out there. But it'll be interesting to see what happens.
One thing that I'm noticing in the results is that Evan Stice is recorded as a zero for this last round. And I'm pretty sure I saw him out there. In fact, I think I saw him in like second for a little while. So did he somehow DNF both motos or just not get points?
I think on the broadcast they showed he crashed out the first moto, I think, and okay. I couldn't tell you what happened the second moto. Huh. I probably just didn't score any points.
Maybe, yeah. He goes 5-5 at the previous rounds, now sits 10th in points. That's not going to do so well for the old overall points chase. But yeah, you're totally right. If you look at the results in the top 10 right now, Quebec, Georgia, Tennessee, Ontario. Tiger Wood is not from Barrie, Ontario. Thank you very much. And then Austin Jones is. Same thing, Tanner Scott. Stice is from Idaho. You don't get to a Western Alberta or Western racer until you get to Ufumzef and then Noah Porter, who was actually very impressive this last week, as well as Clayton Schmucke.
Yeah, Noah Porter was turning heads at Raymond. Like, during the West Cans, and he was on that 450, like,
yeah.
Straight up past Tanner Ward from what I've seen, like, I was like, holy crap, this kid's ripping. And then he gets on the 250 and he seems to struggle or pump up or overrides the bike or something. But yeah, I think he needs to move up to the 450 class and he'd be up there. Like, he'd be one of the guys for sure.
Definitely seems like a guy who would do himself a favor by going to the 450. It seems like a bike that just complements him. And same thing, honestly, and like I think this might be a little bit down the road, maybe switches things up, but Devin Smith from Mission BC, like he's on the Maple Ridge Motorsports Kawasaki. He's got the Pro Circuit engine under the hood. If he can figure out those first laps, he can make his whole day a whole lot easier because he was battling from the back both motos. I think he ended up 14th at Pilot Mound, but I think he had top 10 speed both motos. He was just mired in the back both times. It was surprising to see.
Yeah, I didn't like they. It's hard for me because I didn't see him at all during
right.
The week,
he's buried.
Or during the day. Yeah, because we were just watching the broadcast and he didn't really make it on there at all. So yeah, I'm not sure, but the first couple of rounds he was like. It looks like he's riding well, but yeah, I don't know if he's making too many mistakes or bad starts and he's working away from the back, but
yeah, it's bad starts for sure.
Yeah, I got to figure something out there.
For sure, like the Bryce Wage, one of the local boys, he had himself, I think it was best overall performance, 17th. I'm sure he was one of the many who were just like, of course, the series comes to a racetrack that he's familiar with, and it's absolute full-on mud first thing in the morning. We did not get started with qualifying until 12:30 in the afternoon. Like, it was, I'm amazed the fans stayed around as long as they did. I was doing the call. I was up in the announcing tower doing my thing. But the fans lined the fences for the Triple Crown series, but things got off to a pretty slow start as far as the day rolling.
Yeah. Deep track. It looks like they did a pretty decent job at like salvaging what they could out of it.
Yeah. Though,
like,
oh, for sure.
Hats off to the track crew there. Like, they did a damn good job with how bad that track looked in the morning.
Yeah, it's just one of those cases where they ripped it, they tilled it, they watered it, thinking that like they did, like, as far as, and they're farmers, they know the moisture that's coming, or at least they have a good idea of what's going to be coming their way. They thought they were going to get maybe half an inch with the rain. They got an inch and a half of rain, which is a big difference when it comes to a track that's already soaked. So it was a hurry up and wait style sort of morning, and it kind of spelled disaster for a couple of guys who just, like, if you didn't adapt to the mud or the lines the way they were right off the hop, you're gonna have a long day. Like a guy like Tiger Wood, who seemed like whether he was either peeling himself off the pavement or going or putting in some of the fastest lap times of the day.
Yeah, no, he had a little bit of a rough day. He had a sick start there, and him and Sice were going at it for the first lap, and then I don't even know what in the world went wrong there. Like,
did he just, like, die?
Did he hit a false neutral, or, like,
I thought he, like, knifed the front end somehow.
Yeah, it didn't even look like that. Just, like, the back end just kicked up and, like, went straight OTV. Like,
yeah.
That was a weird crash.
Weird crash.
Yeah.
And then, was it the first moto or the second moto where he was demonstrating the Fox's brand new super vented jersey that was basically just hanging off of him?
Yeah, the half cut jersey. Yeah, that one's a new one. But yeah, I can't remember what moto that. I think that was moto 2, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know. There's so many crashes.
Yeah, that wasn't ideal by any means. I currently sit 7th in points. I'm sure Diggs is super stoked on that. He can obviously be better. He was 2nd in the previous round. I look for him to bounce back at Gopher. I think he's – I don't know if he's a sand specialist, but training down in Florida and obviously being on Gopher Dunes Honda, I'd assume that he's got more than a few laps around that place.
Yeah, definitely some time on Gopher. But, like, yeah. That's the thing. Gophers, like, it's just hard to bet against the Canadian boys. Like, Quinn's almost had a couple podiums at Gophers the last couple years, so I imagine he's going to be out there swinging, and Jones and Seb are going to be just, and Benoit too. Like, these Canadian guys are going to be, I think, striving a little bit more on these East Coast tracks than they were out here. So I don't know if Gage Linville is going to be a consistent podium guy anymore, or he's going to pick the pace up still with everyone else.
Now, I said this in the podcast when we did the preview, is that I said Quinn Amiot is going to turn some serious heads this year, and he did exactly that at Lethbridge with the second place, which for all intents and purposes, I think that's where he belongs as far as his skill set, fitness, and the bike that he's on. That Walton Cowie is absolutely barking out there. Like, obviously, he did not have the pilot mound to write home about. 7th place, not where he wants to be. But you expect better from him in 2 weeks' time when they roll into Gopher, don't you?
Oh, 100%. Like, Quinn had some bad luck in the West. Like, the Calgary one, like, he should have easily been on the podium for Calgary.
Yeah.
He got that taken away. And then Raymond was sick. Like, he had a good weekend. And then with some other riders crashing, he kind of fell into the second place. Like, the second moto, I can't even remember, was he 5th or 6th? But
yeah.
But he was there the first moto and got the points he needed to get on the podium, which, like, he well deserves. I can't believe this is his first outdoor podium with how good he's been riding, like, last few years. But he got it done. And then, yeah, this weekend was just more unfortunate luck. Just, like, weird crash off that table on the first moto. Or I can't even remember if it was first moto or second moto. But, yeah, just some, like, unfortunate little situations. Like, he wasn't. The second moto, he didn't make any passes in Manitoba. Like, I think he kind of started, like, 10th or something and passed the 7th and loaded out there. But yeah,
it was
just,
a,
like,
weird –
kind of just shitty luck.
Yeah, it was just a weird race, honestly. Like, second motos, the track was pretty beat. It was kind of one-lined. Everything was sort of pushed off. I feel like the second motos, it was the same thing in the 450 Classic, sort of thing. Everything just sort of stretched out. Everyone found their pace. They found, like, sort of like a someone to battle with, and they just stayed that way. I think it was a really tough track to sort of, like, make up time, because the guys were just sort of hitting the same lines over and over again. Unless you can sort of, like, mix things up and start to go around people, I think just the options weren't there for them.
Yeah, that's what. I was just watching Michael Mosman, the MXA vlog that they just posted of Pilot Mound.
Yes.
And that's what he was saying. He's like, this track just developed to be one fast line on the inside, one fast line on the outside, and it was kind of follow the leader for the rest of it. Like, it was hard to find another line that was faster than the main line. So
that is one knock on Pilot Mount, is that it's a little bit narrow. And you were there, you've raced it before, although you were probably delirious due to the heat. That was ridiculous.
I was out of it, man.
Yeah. No,
that was a bad round.
No, that was, honestly, it wasn't a day totally indifferent than what we endured, although someone turned the thermostat up 2 years ago. The wind was there that day, that weekend as well, the previous day, but for amateur day. Let's talk 450s quickly here. Jess Pettis is your points leader. He's got a 13-point lead over Josiah Notsky. I've been impressed with him. I've been impressed with Jess. I've also been really impressed with Josiah, and also really impressed with Jess and Josiah's girlfriends that were just walking around, or I guess it's Jess's fiance now. Both of them are like stone cold tens and just walking around like nervous about their boyfriends, watching their men do their thing. But Josiah, it was Josiah's day. Like, he took the lead in the first moto, didn't look back. Second moto, wire to wire, see you later. Tanti like gave him like a little bit of the business for like, I don't know, maybe like a minute or two, but after that it was all Josiah all the time in Pilot Mount. I was impressed.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we were gonna see like a 1-1 day out of him this year, if it kind of take him a year to get used to the tracks on the 450.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he just looked like he belonged up there. Like, no one even gave him a run. Yeah, like, he passed Jess and was gone that first moto, and then obviously JP had the bad start the second moto, but yeah, like, checked out. Like, that,
how
guy
about Pettis' start in the second moto? Ever had one of those?
Oh, probably. I just can't remember them. There's been too many.
The freestyle Superman. Like, we didn't have an intermission for anyone to do any type of jump contest. Was he just trying to like bust out a Superman like during the start? I think he still ended up passing a few people while doing that too. Yeah. I was surprised he hung on.
Yeah, no kidding, man. He's right off the back of that bike. You could see it out of the corner of the camera on the broadcast. And I was like, oh, fuck, JP went down. And then all of a sudden, like, you see him coming back. I'm like, how the hell did he save that crash? Because he was – I thought he was looping that bike out for sure.
Oh, yeah. I was – like, for a guy who's got bad shoulders, like, as soon as I'm back like that, I'd probably just let go. And he, like, literally, like, full throttle, climbed back on the thing somehow. And, yeah, was able to immediately mount a charge. He ended up he was second on the day. Good ride, all things considered. Honestly, like, the two of them have really separated themselves from Tanti and Kilroy. Like, the points have been sort of like, obviously, neither one of those guys has been on the podium, a whole lot aside from Tanti the last two weekends. He's been on the third spot. And I think he's still dealing with, he's like kind of coming back from injury that he sustained over in Supercross. Everyone remembers when he got uppercutted by his fat bars in the whoops. He can probably still feel that thing. But yeah, like, what did you see from Tanti that's a little some maybe signs of life, especially in that second moto?
Yeah, like, seeing him from Calgary to like now, like, obviously the guy's riding a lot better. He's holding his own. Like, even made the pass on Mitchell and then left Mitchell Harrison too, like, which is pretty impressive how much time Mitchell Harrison spent here. So yeah, no, I think he's just kind of coming into it and starting to feel comfortable on the new bike and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I think he's going to be getting better for these rounds.
Certainly. And you know who's not that far back in points and deserves to have like maybe like some sort of Iron Man award named after him? It's nothing but pure grit and determination. The guy could barely move at riders meeting and he gets a 7th overall. Dylan Wright. Like, I don't know what this championship turns out into by the end of things, but holy crap. Like, for how hard he hit, for the fact that he couldn't even fly to the event, he had to be driven in and was in hospital like 3 days prior. I don't care what the results were. I'm just impressed.
Yeah, Dylan Wright rode good. That was a tough race for him, and he pulled through like a man. Like, that was pretty impressive to see. But I was saying coming into Raymond that Dylan Wright is going to hurt himself on this track. Like, I had a feeling that something was going to go wrong, and the way Dylan Wright rides, so aggressive and like so wide open, hitting stuff, I knew Raymond was going to bite him in the ass, and it was just a matter of time. But that was a big crash, and like the fact that he still raced Manitoba is insane.
Yeah. 7 days later, lines up. Like I said, regardless of what the results say, I'm impressed with what he was able to pull off. And like he's only 38 points back. Obviously, he's got to do some serious healing in order to be able to run the pace necessary to climb back into this championship. But regardless of what the rest of the season looks like for Dylan, like stick taps for going out there and doing it. Yeah. Cause that guy hit the deck and he immediately, was snoozing. I'm trying not to make light of this whatsoever, but that was a scary crash.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was one of the bigger crashes I've seen. Like the fact that like, just came to a dead stop on that roller. Like, yeah. Insane that he was able to walk that one off a couple days later and line up again.
No kidding. So for Mitchell Harrison, he's currently sitting sixth in points. This last weekend has to sting. He rode very well in the first moto, but second moto had some stuff go sideways on him, or maybe that's flipped. I can't exactly remember. I spent the entire day talking. But 12th overall, like that's the type of weekend that really takes some wind out of your sails in order to be able to chase for this championship. And like he might still very well for the rest of the season, still be like knocking down some podiums, maybe a moto win if things break his way. But a 12th in a short series like this, it's tough to make up those points.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's, yeah, there's only 8 rounds. So you got to make every round count. As soon as you have something go wrong, I don't know if it was could have been a bike issue. I don't know. I might've seen him pushing his bike. Oh yeah. No, his bike died.
His bike died on him. Okay.
He had to push it off the track. Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah. I remember seeing that now, but yeah, it's unfortunate that stuff kind of has to happen this early in the season. Like, yeah, shitty situation.
No kidding. Still a couple of points, actually 1 point ahead of Tanner Ward, who like, I feel like when I watch Tanner in qualifying, I see more bright moments than I do during races. Obviously, he had the crash this last weekend, so I wouldn't say he was in salvage mode, but the fact that he still got sixth is pretty impressive. When you watch Tanner Ward, what do you think is sort of stopping him from being a consistent top five to podium threat in the 450 class? Because I know he can do it in the 250 class.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think he's just in his head a little too much. Like, I think he just needs to kind of calm down and let this stuff come to him instead of forcing himself into these situations where he's making mistakes. Like, sure, maybe he only gets, like, fourth in the moto, but is it worth him pushing his brains out until he crashes and then trying to catch third? Or does he kind of just calm down a little bit and take the fourth places when they come to him? Like, I think that's kind of where Tanner's at the time.
Yeah, he's slow down to go fast. He sits a few points ahead of Julian Benick, who's also just ahead of Parker Eales. I actually really liked watching the two of those guys battle a little bit this last weekend. They seem to have a lot for each other. It's weird to see Benick with 17 on the bike because I've been like looking for the 500 on his bike forever. I think he should just like run the 500 almost Mike Alessi style for the rest of his career because that way I can actually find him. Because like I spent half the day being like, who the fuck is 17? and same thing for Daniel Elmore, because did Elmore go back to a 3-digit number or was he wearing something else before? Because that was annoying as well.
He, as an amateur, he was 377, I believe. And then when he got like inside the top 10, so he got to pick a career number last year, I believe.
Yeah.
And he picked 377 as his career number. Ah, so
they are allowing that like, almost like a la Travis Pastrana, James Stewart. From back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's one other guy that has a 3-digit career number, but yeah, that's what he picked for his career number. So that's his for now.
I like it. What do you make of Gavin Bruff coming up? He's racing, 250 class in AMA Nationals, and then taking red-eye flights the night of to end up landing in wherever the Canadian National happens to be. I think the Red Bud to Gopher is probably the easiest one logistically, but this kid's been impressive. He's currently tied for 10th in points with Elmore. He's had a lot of good motos, and the thing that sticks out to me is his fitness. Like, the both motos, he picked off guys late, including picking off MXA's Josh Mosman, as he actually put the bike on the ground late in his last moto, relegated him back to 11th. But I'm impressed with Bruff.
Yeah, he does like works and like GNCC stuff, kind of, doesn't he?
All kinds of stuff. Like, his dad, his parents own Mesquite, Bunker Hill, Cache Valley, as well as they do like a off-road series called the Grassroots Off-Road Series, and the RMX series. So like, he's, if there's dirt bikes and some sort of gate drop or a flag start, he's most likely racing it. And he is like as much of a dirt bike kid as you can possibly imagine. He's like 18, 19 years old. Six, seven in your program. He just rides dirt bikes and works on motocross tracks and doesn't do a whole hell of a lot else.
Yeah, no, obviously paying off. Cause yeah, he has great fitness. Like, the fact that he's able to go Saturday in the States to Sunday in Canada racing all the Nationals is insane, and still getting like good overall finishes, like, pretty impressive.
Yeah, no kidding. The energy to go back-to-back days after making the motos in the South and then doing it here, pretty impressive. Let's talk Thor WMX Series and another championship for Ev Brodeur. This is a, sort of like a farewell tour for her. Her boyfriend was able to fly in to mechanic for her and be a support system for her. It's just a cool story. She's out there with the factory Red Bull KTM. I think they're doing it like it's the best way to send her off possible. And but you still have to go out there and win the races. You still have to go there and get the job done. She's done exactly that, at least on the West. She went second in two rounds and then first in the last two rounds. I'm impressed. Another championship for her. Good for her.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She's well deserving of it. She's put a lot of work in and stuff. But yeah, no, she rode good. It was probably the best battle to watch, her and Vivian Contreras.
Yeah.
Every weekend, like, I was out on the track every time those girls were on the track watching their motos, because, like, it was a sick race every time. Like, that Vivian Contreras can ride a dirt bike.
Dude, she's got better style than I do, and, like, humbly, possibly better style than you do, especially because she, all the way down from Wildomar, California, if they had opening ceremonies for the WMX, she should come out to the Top Gun theme.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Do you know why it would be the Top Gun theme?
No.
The whole movie is, yeah, the whole movie is set in Wildomar, California, where she's from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, I had no clue.
See,
the new one or the old one? I've watched the new one.
Like, the old one. The proper one. Come on.
Ah, okay.
I'm old.
Yeah, no.
But no, I was impressed with the WMX girls. They were riding at the end of the day when the track was absolutely beat to hell, and they were still jumping the jumps. And which honestly, I was looking out there, I'm like, you couldn't catch me dead sending any of that.
Yeah, no, it looked like it was sketchy. Like, the jump faces were dry and hard packed, but like, they were soft going up to them, so it looked like they had like kind of weird kickers off them all.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's impressive they were all still hitting it at the end of the day there. Yeah, but I think that's how they kind of should have done it throughout the whole series, like kind of swap back and forth, like let the ladies in the premix like kind of go later in the afternoon after the pros. That way they get a little bit of a different track than then like first thing in the morning when it's a highway. Like, I was talking to Dex the other day. He came over to the house and he was like, that was the sickest track and like the most fun he's had riding a dirt bike. Like,
killer.
Cause they don't get to ride that stuff. Like,
yeah.
I think they kind of should change it up a little bit and like throw maybe like in mid motos, like middle of our motos, where the pros can kind of get a little bit more of a break in between. But
so yeah, I think you're thinking qualifying during qualifying, first moto during between your guys' first and second moto, and then their second moto after you guys are done.
Yeah, because they're literally racing like a 12 minute plus one lap. So it's like a 15 minute moto. So like, it adds an extra 30 seconds into the middle of the day, gives like everyone a little bit more of a break after their motos, and yeah, kind of gets them on a little bit of a rougher track too.
I think so. You know who was enjoying that rougher track was Maguire Yarusky at a narrow Manitoba. He hasn't raced a Canadian national yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does exactly that. He was on his KTM 150, and he spoiled the party for Brock Hoyer. Brock had the biggest points lead you could imagine. I think he damn well could have probably just rode around as a parade lap, waving to the non-existent fans that weren't there at 6 o'clock at night when that race was being run. I joked with Brock that he basically did a wheels on the ground race, the last race, because he knew he didn't have to beat Maguire. But he knew he had to stay just ahead of Joey Parks. He did exactly that. The 1W stays essentially undefeated, but he does lose the one moto throughout the entire championship, but he takes home the big hardware. That's cool for Brock. I like that.
Yeah, man, he's been doing this for so long. It's cool to see him still having fun and racing every weekend and stuff like that. And he's helping out a lot of lots of women and stuff like that for racing. And
yeah,
it's like, he's cool. He's kind of like a mentor, but also still loves racing. So kind of get the best of both worlds with it.
Oh, certainly. And I was trying to make fun of him a little bit, or kind of have some fun with it. Cause at the beginning of the day, he was 38. And then by the end of the day, like I was like, every time I'd announce him, he was like always a little bit older. Like he was like 45, then he was 48. I think by the time I was introducing him onto the podium, he was 58 years old, well into his senior years. So, I don't know how much he enjoyed that, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah, no kidding. I was calling him old too on the broadcast when I was out there, but. Yeah, no, man. It's just cool to see a guy like that still loving the sport.
No doubt. Hats off to Joey Parks for he rolled into the final round, or this last round, third in points, and he needed to pass Dex to end up second in the championship at a Nanaimo BC. Did exactly that. I know Dex was pretty disappointed after the race that his second overall turned into a third in the championship. But I kind of feel for the kid a little bit. But all things considered, I think he had a pretty damn good year racing against 125s, 150s on a super mini. That's no small task, and doing a series like that, super rough track, hats off to the kid. I think he rode awesome.
Yeah, Joey Parks did good, but yeah, Dex did wicked, man. Like at end of the day, he's still on a super mini, he's still out there battling with those boys. Like he had some big crashes and wasn't feeling 100% all the time, but he still went out there and did his best and had fun. And yeah, like,
and he's still coming back from injury too, right? Sick. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't that long ago he was hurt.
Yeah, no, he said, and he had a couple big crashes these last couple of weeks too, like at West Cairns, and he said he had another big crash on amateur day.
Yep.
So he's all banged up, but yeah, still had to go out there and push through it and fight for those podium positions, and still getting third overall in the championship is sick.
No doubt, for sure. So, what's on the horizon for the Birdman? You've put the bike back together after the crash and shined her all up. You said you're probably going to get on a bike maybe 2-3 weeks from now. Are we setting our sights at a possible appearance at Walton? Are we going to see you at a national? Or like, are you even going to entertain those ideas or what?
I'll wait and see. I'm not putting any pressure on it. Like, if it works out, it works out. If I can find someone that can, like, haul my bike to Walton and I feel like I'm comfortable, because I tried doing it last year after I broke my arm, and I didn't get the results I wanted, and I was kind of bummed out on it. And I just don't want to go spend all the money to go back there and kind of have the same thing happen again.
Fair enough.
So I'm going to leave it up to how my body feels, like, a couple weeks before Walton, and if I feel like it's worth the money and the time to go out there and give it a whirl, or I save my pennies and I get ready for next year again. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, well, I think either one would be a noble plan. Saving pennies, especially in this economy, is always a good plan. But also, I could be talked into going racing anytime. In fact, I tried to race pre-mix. I really did, and I actually got some flack from some of my loyal listeners about not racing. But here's how it ended up going down. Of course, the whole plan was to race premix on the KX125. It was sitting there looking all pretty. It was not going to go out into the mud. Like, it was funny because I was talking to Joey Parks and he goes, are you going to ride practice? I'm like, no. He's like, well, but that's time qualifying. I'm like, 15th gate pick? like, don't threaten me with a good time. I'll be fine. I'm 15th gate pick, and I'm probably picking 15th in the second moto too. Thank you very much. I was literally, the gate dropped for the first premix moto while I was doing the podium for the second 450 moto. And then as I was doing the women's set, no, wait, how did that work? It literally, like, there was no opportunity for me to ride either one of the motos. By the time it was, like, the end of the day and the track was beat and I was tired from announcing all day long, it was, like, I could come up with a million excuses, but it was just it would have been a ridiculous ask for me to do that. So we decided against it.
And take that poor KX out there, Dan.
I know. No, that'd be
almost tougher than, like, that's a good enough excuse right there. Not want to take that bike out on that track. That's understandable. I get that.
No, she's a bit of a trailer queen. She looks good. There's not a lot of horsepower under the hood and parts are tough to come by. So, we'll just leave it at that. But, no, I'm excited for it, man. I'm hoping to make it out to Walton myself. I'm thinking about making my Loretta's trip, possibly not have my return flight to Winnipeg. Just go straight up to, where would I be flying into? Ottawa?
For Walton?
Walton, yeah.
It's not Toronto. Kitchener. Kitchener is where you want to fly into if you're going to Walton. It's like a smaller airport, so like you can get cheaper flights and stuff there. That's the place to go.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. Well, this has been fun, as always. I hope that your leg's starting to feel a little bit better, getting things back to normal. And you'll be in short order, you'll already have more time on a dirt bike this year than I do. That makes me upset. But yeah, looking forward to the next time we chat, my friend. Let's do another one of these after the next couple rounds.
Yeah, sign me up, man. Yeah, I'm excited. Good racing to come. I feel like the boys are just getting warmed up, so it should be fun.
We're going to head out west or head out east when the series truly begins. T Parrot here on the Big MX Radio podcast. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate the opportunity to come on here.
Awesome, dude. Take care.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Now who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get
it. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch.